You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. And the congregation said, Amen. This morning, I would like you to use your imagination. If necessary, go ahead and close your eyes as I describe this, but I want you to participate in this. I want you to imagine that you are imprisoned, not in a modern prison full of light and activity, but in a dark, foul-smelling hole. Imagine being chained in the dark against cold stones. You feel things that crawl upon you, that bite you, but you have no idea what it is. You long for something to drink. You long for decent food. You long for light. And then, through the bars to your horrid hole, you see a flicker of light. You hear noise, you hear voices, you hear the barking of orders. And then the light gets stronger and stronger, and it stops at your cell. And the cell is thrown open, and you steel yourself for what is to come. You prepare yourself for the torture. And the chains fall off. And you squint through this bright light, and you feel these strong arms wrap around you. And you hear this voice say to you, "You're free. You're free, my friend. You're free." And you feel these arms lift you out of the hole. And as your eyes get adjusted to the bright light, you see every cell in the jail is open. And you feel the support of these strong arms. And he says, "Look, look, there is freedom. Go." The guards are gone. The door to the jail is wide open. And as you hobble towards that entrance, you can't help but notice a cell that's open. It's just like the cell you've been in. It's what you've been used to. Do you go back to what you are used to? Or do you walk into the unknown freedom? What do you do? Now, Lord willing, none of you want to go back to the cell. Lord willing, all of you are going, "What stupid question is that, Jonathan?" And yet, Paul is writing to a church that has chosen, and I should say churches, that have chosen to go back into the foul, dark cell of works righteousness. They have been freed. They have been pointed to freedom, and they said, "No, thank you." And in the visible church today, there are many who do the same thing. They hear the glorious news of freedom through Jesus Christ. They rejoice in it, and they go right back into the foul, dank cell of works righteousness. We have come to a turning point in Galatians. Paul has spent four chapters focused on justification by faith alone in Christ alone, and now he's going to turn to look at sanctification, because everyone who is justified is sanctified. Justification is an act of God. Sanctification is a work. It is ongoing. All who are justified will be sanctified. All who are justified participate in sanctification. And before he focuses on our sanctification, he once again wants you to grasp what justification means. That you are free. It is glorious news that many in the church rejoice in, and then very few live in. It's sad. And Paul is writing this letter to challenge the Galatian churches and us. Are we actually living in freedom? And so this morning, that is why I want us to focus only on one verse. It is a glorious verse that many either ignore, explain away, or just can't comprehend. There are those who turn their back on it and stay in their foul, dark cell. There are those who just sit in the hallway because they don't know what to do. And there are very few who run passionately into the freedom that is theirs. And I hope and pray that God grants me the words to say, so that you and I are able to say, we're living in this freedom. Look again at verse 1. It's glorious. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Christ has set us free. You must believe this. And you have to notice that Christ doesn't need any help in setting us free. Christ doesn't need any assistance. Christ has set us free. Christ has done it all. Again, he's hammering home the point. He's spent four chapters, but it's so important that as he pivots to sanctification, he wants to remind us we are free because of justification. And it is all a work of Christ. We receive, we do not help. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, puts it this way: we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Dead people don't do anything but rot. That's who we are without Christ. We cannot assist ourselves. We are dead, but God makes us alive in Christ Jesus. And you have to also notice in this verse, really important, Christ has set us free. These churches that are struggling in bondage to false teaching are hearing that they are included in salvation. Paul is making this corporate. Paul is not talking about universalism here. He's expressing his confidence that he is speaking to believers who are caught up in false teaching. It's not that they are not saved. It's that they've chosen to go back to bondage. They've gone back to that foul, dark cell. And if they only turned around, you know what they'd see? The door's still open. The jail cell hasn't been closed, and yet they've turned to works righteousness, and so they're staring at the dark. And Paul wants them to turn around to see the freedom that is theirs. Salvation, or more correctly, justification, is Christ setting you free. And the obvious question we should be asking is, free from what? To understand what we are free from, we just need to go back to chapter 3. In verse 13 of chapter 3, this is what it states. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Christ frees us from the curse of the law. So what is the curse? Well, chapter 3, verse 10 puts it this way. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. James helps us here when he states this in chapter 2 of his book. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. Christ frees us from the curse of the law. Why? Or how? By becoming a curse for us. 2 Corinthians 5 aids us in our understanding when it states this, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Here is the great exchange. Christ receives our sins. He bore the penalty for all of our sins, and in exchange, he gives to his people his righteousness. Christ frees us from the curse of the law by suffering the just penalty of that curse in our place. It's beautiful and terrifying all at once. Beautiful to think of the love of Christ, that he's willing to take all of our sins upon us. He becomes the greatest sinner ever, for he takes upon himself all of our sin. And in exchange, he gives us all of his righteousness. It's terrifying because it reveals what our sins deserve. The wrath and curse of God poured out upon us to the point where the beloved Son of God cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, if this was the extent of freedom, it would be marvelous. But Scripture continues. We read another freedom this morning, Romans 8. I hope that you cherish this verse. I hope that you believe this verse. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Can you imagine being free from condemnation? Can you imagine being free from a guilty conscience? Can you imagine being free from worrying about things said or done or not done? Brothers and sisters in Christ, you don't have to imagine. If you are in Christ, there is no condemnation. How can you be sure of this? Well, listen again to Romans 8. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Those united to Christ are free from condemnation, for the only one who judges humanity for their sins is the triune God, and as Romans 8 declares, it is God who justifies, and it is Christ who is interceding, and therefore those in Christ will never face condemnation. Now, isn't that glorious freedom? Christ frees you from the burden of guilt, frees you from the fear of ever facing condemnation for secret sins or those things forgotten or those things not even realized. And yet Scripture's not done with your freedom. We are free from the curse of law. We are free from condemnation. And then it says that we are free from the power of sin. Listen to Romans 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Those who are justified by God through Christ are free from the power of sin. We are to consider ourselves to be obedient to Scripture. You are to consider yourself dead to sin. Only those united to Christ are given this great freedom to be dead to the power of sin. Sin no longer has control in our lives because Christ does. Remember Galatians 2:20. Sin no longer lives in you, but Christ does. The power of sin is gone, or else Scripture is wrong. Now, as we are going to see in the rest of this book, that means that you and I are called to put to death the sin that once reigned in our life. This is a daily task. Freedom allows us to fight sin. Christians are the only ones able to resist sin and temptation. Here is great freedom. So think of the freedom Christ has given you. When Paul declares that Christ has set us free, you are free from the curse of the law. You are free from condemnation. You are free from the power of sin. Only a Christian can say no to sin. Well, is there anything else? Hebrews 2 adds to our freedom by stating this. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same thing, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. All justified are freed from not only the fear of death, but also the devil. You are no longer enslaved to sin. You are no longer enslaved to fear. And you no longer are enslaved to the devil. Here is the power of Christ. Here is the freedom he gives you. This is not a little freedom. Christ doesn't free you with a chance that your foes may enslave you again. No, listen to what Colossians 2 says, what Christ has done for you. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Please never think that the Christian life is about dualism. There is one true and living God, and He, through His beloved Son, has conquered sin, death, and the devil, and they can do nothing against His holy will. Nothing. This is the freedom that all united to Christ have. It is total and it is unchangeable. Christ has set you free from all of His and our enemies, and no one can take away that freedom, not even ourselves. Christ frees you from the dark prison of sin. He overcomes your captors, and He leads you victoriously into His freedom to never be removed. And yet, unfortunately, so often you and I act like that prisoner who ponders, do they go into the cell or do they go out into freedom? It is so great we can't comprehend it. And so we let sin have power over us. We let fear control us. We allow the devil to scare us. As we deny the freedom Christ has given to His people. Praise be to God that Jesus keeps reminding us of His freedom through His Word. When we do not stand firm in Christ's freedom, we will act like it is a little thing. We will act like we have to add to it. We will act as if our captors still have some power over us. To stand firm, you and I must not only hear, but believe the words of Christ. So listen to what He declared in John 8. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Is Christ a liar? Is Christ a liar? And Lord willing, thank you, sweetie. Lord willing, we say no. Of course He's not a liar. So then why do you and I not live like we are free? Why do we allow temptation and sin to rule us and define us? Why do we live like we must constantly have to prove to God that we are somehow worthy of His affection? That's going back to that foul-smelling cell. Christ says to you, you are free. So live like it. Be free. And the rest of Galatians is about being free. And it's going to involve fighting. And it's going to involve work. It's going to involve putting to death what once reigned in us by declaring to it, you have no power over me. I will not listen to you. I will not give in to my desires. For you are dead because of Christ. Here is glorious freedom. So, of course, we then have to ask this. if I am free, how am I to live? If I am free, who rules me? And what we have to do is, first of all, put away the silly notions humanity has of freedom. Christ does not free you to do what you want. As a matter of fact, all throughout Scripture, those who do what is right in their own eyes are always those under judgment. Here's how you know you're in bondage to sin, that you do as you please. If you are your own judge, if you are the one who determines right and wrong, that is a sign that you are in bondage to sin and you need to be freed. No, according to Scripture, what freedom looks like, it's found in Galatians 13 and 14. We're going to get to it in 2 weeks, but let me just read it to you now. Here is what freedom is. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Freedom is to live in love. Love of the triune God and love for our neighbors. Freedom is to live a life governed by the God who is love. Freedom in Christ is not indulging in our fleshly desires, but truly loving as God commands. Freedom is to live a life that is guiltless before God and man, and throughout Scripture, that is always the life of love. And it's a life only achievable through justification by faith alone in Christ alone. It is and will be a daily outworking of Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Does that describe your life this morning? If so, then hear the triune God's call. Stand firm. Stand firm in your freedom and do not return to the slavery of sin. Christ freeing us means our lives will be transformed. You will go from a self-centered pagan to a God-glorifying, humanity-loving worshiper of Christ. Freedom will rearrange your priorities. We will go from glorifying and enjoying our flesh to glorifying and enjoying the triune God. It will be a transformation that will take our entire life. It will be a freedom never undone by circumstances, earthly power, or frailty of hearts, minds, and bodies. It is a freedom that transcends all that we will face. It is a freedom governed and guarded by the love of our God. This morning, do you know Christ's freedom? Or are you only daydreaming in the bondage of your sins? Christ came to set you free. He alone does it, and he gives it to everyone who hears him and believes. Are you truly free? And if you are you standing firm in your freedom? Or are you trying to go back into bondage? Brothers and sisters, my hope and prayer is that Trinity will be able to say, we are firm in the freedom of Christ. Let us pray. most merciful, holy God. Christ has promised that all who look to Him for salvation are free. God, these words are amazing. These words are so hard to comprehend. I pray, Father, that each one of us would ponder deeply the words of our beloved Savior. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And we will look at our lives and, Lord willing, see that we are standing firm in the freedom that Christ gave us through His sacrifice. As we come to the Lord's table now, as we are reminded through the elements of Christ's death, that, Lord, we will be able to say we are standing firm in the freedom that Christ bought for us. O most merciful God, may we live as free people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.